that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green? She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a panic of pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
4 points. 4 points and 10 teams. 10 teams and 4 points. I know, it's amazing, but it's only 4 points that separates number one, position one, and position 10 in the championship. Just think, Rob Nichols, if we'd beaten Norwich, if we'd beaten Huddersfield, we'd have been clear by 2 points now.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
At least we're in the hunt, and that's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I was going to start this thing off, Rob. Of course, welcome to the Fly Me to the Moon podcast, of course, special edition. Oh, well, they're always special editions, but this is to consider the last couple of games, and of course, looking ahead to a couple of away games before, of course, the next magazine comes out ahead of the Millwall match. It is that sort of line where almost that double tap penalty by Tavernier. Oh, so close. If only he hadn't tapped it twice. Could have granted us a win against Norwich. Norwich, of course, 28 points. We're just 4 points behind in 10th place with 24 points. But, I mean, you look, Bournemouth 27, Watford 27, Reading 27, Bristol City 27, Brentford 26, Swansea 26, Stoke 25, Blackburn 24, and, of course, Borough 24 as well. So, I mean, it's a cliche to actually say things are tight. But given that we're away to Stoke, of course, on Saturday, i.e. tomorrow, if you're listening to this when it's released on the Friday, it'd be hard-pressed to get any tighter. I mean, you could even make a case, actually, for 11th place Luton with 22 points, only 6 points off the top as well.
Yeah, and Luton playing pretty well, aren't they? And I suppose it's sort of personified by our game at Huddersfield on Saturday, the fact that we took a lead and we looked pretty comfortable. I think until the point where their veteran defender, Richard Stearman, who was clearly sort of second in every race when he had to go off, and then the tables turned and Huddersfield were rightly the winners in the end, deservedly so. So just it kind of bears it out that anyone's can beat anybody, but I guess it's the way that we bounce back against Swansea, who are a top side. And let's compare it, Alex, to where we were. It was Jonathan Woodgate's final game when we came back for that short bit of season under the COVID restrictions, and they shocked us. They trounced us 3-0, and we looked really second rate. And it's a measure of how far we've come from that point, because it's largely the same group of players, isn't it? And it was a very good contest, but it shows the organisation that Middlesbrough have got now to counter the organisation that Swansea had then and still have.
Of course, one crucial difference from the era of course, Jonathan Woodgate and the Neil Warnock era, both, of course, names beginning with W. So there we are. Yeah. One stands for winner. One stands for... No, won't go there. But, of course, the position and the relatively new sign, of course, of Mr. Watmore, who, of course, came up with goals in the 26th and 67th minute against Swansea. Obviously managed to pull one goal back after that. But, good to see that. Obviously, with assist from Brian McNair, he signed an extension to his contract. Yay!
Paddy McNair, that's right. Yeah, I think it's a great thing that I know Tony Pulis, when he was here, he kept saying he was going to, one of his big things to, one of the big sort of aims of his management was to set something out for the future with the football club. But how does a manager do that how can they possibly have anything to do with a legacy? Well, this is one way you can do it, with Warnock signing contract extensions, getting time players down to the club, and Paddy McNair, he says is the man that you build the team around. He's also given an extension to Johnny Howson, who just seems to be evergreen. Johnny Howson, he was Neil Warnock said about him in the press conference today that he thought he could that McNair could grace a Premier League team, and he thought Housen could as well, the way he's playing right now. But then he's also been signing some of the younger players, you know, on better deals, on longer deals. So that's a way that he can sort of create a legacy. And let's face it, Alex, the two players that left, the two of the players that left the club in the summer, Ryan Shotton and Rudy Gestede, as we've said before, are now plying their trade in Australia. So for any player at a club like Middlesbrough, really, the deal that they're on at the moment is likely to be the best deal they're going to get for a long time, unless the Premier League's in a different world, isn't it, now? It's a really good opportunity to sort of build something again.
I think it's certainly fair to say that the likelihood of any Premiership club coming in for Rudi Gestede, I would have said, is highly remote. But there we are. That's just my line. I mean, I think yeah. Ever since his fantastic scoring exploits for Aston Villa, Borough, where, yeah, I mean, obviously one or two moments, but somehow I just felt he never quite managed to combine. Maybe back in the day where you needed to have the kind of classic Billy Ashcroft and Stan Cummins role, you might have actually gone for that. I don't think Rudi Gestede ever had that classic Billy Ashcroft line of falling over his own 2 feet, which is what my late mother actually once was most amused when she accompanied me to Ayresome Park to actually see her. And the first thing she actually saw was Ashcroft tripping over his own feet. I think at that stage she thought, don't think he's going to be a huge success at this particular area. Although, arguably, again, he had his moments. And, of course, does feature in, shameless plug here, your latest awesome book, which is still available in time for Christmas, where you actually share the tale of how Billy Ashcroft travelled for his debut match, his Borough debut, of course. That's the title of the book, My Borough Debut, via a van, I believe.
Yeah, he was more worried about his van breaking down than he was for his debut. Maybe it took away his nerves. But let's face it, Alex, Billy Ashcroft... whatever you say about
him, Billy Ashcroft,
he's fondly remembered, isn't he, by all Borough fans. He stood out on the pitch with his big hair, like do you remember the hair bear bunch?
Exactly. It was also the ultimate little and large. You had big Billy Ashcroft and teeny tiny Stan Cummins. What's not to love?
Yes. But he's a legend, isn't he, on Teesside still? And he's a great character. And you say about tripping over his own feet. And he when he went to play in Netherlands, he started doing comedy. So he started doing comedy and magic tricks. And so he's a tremendous personality.
And maybe that's the rationale. Maybe we've hit on it, Rob. You know, Billy Ashcroft goes off to the Netherlands. Rudi Gestede is, of course, from the Netherlands. Maybe that's it. He was just trying to echo the spirit of Billy Ashcroft, but not the goal-scoring aspect. Just a thought.
Well, yes. But I think what it showed in the summer was there was a lot of agents that the penny hadn't dropped. Just how much trouble EFL clubs were going to find themselves in. So there's an awful lot of players are out of work. I think, and you know, they can turn to their agents and say, "Well, you obviously weren't looking at the real picture here. That we were never going to get the deals that we're on now again, or not for many years." And it's not just football, of course. It's the whole economy, isn't it? And people are really struggling with jobs and stuff like that. So things, you know. People talk about returning to normality in football and out of football, but it's not going to be normality for a lot of people because the world has changed.
It's interesting that those Londoners currently enjoying tier two registrations and systems there. They've had a few attendees going to matches. And I believe there was a Charlton Athletic supporter who decided it was same old, same old. He was one of the 2,000 allowed in for their game. And he actually left before the end, a good 50 or 20 minutes beforehand. So clearly in some instances, you maybe need to have a selection in terms of who those 2,000 or 4,000 is likely to be. Obviously, Borough, like the rest of the North primarily, still very much in Tier 3. So we'll obviously talk in latter times about whether it's going to have an impact. It's off, of course, to the Potteries and to the Midlands for Stoke City. A team who I think at one stage... threatens to do a Portsmouth last season and actually just drop completely through the systems. But they managed to rescue themselves.
Absolutely. Well, it was a fraught finale, wasn't it? There was incredible, those last few games. Yes, so they rescued themselves as Middlesbrough did, but yeah, they've struggled ever since they've come down from the Premier League. And of course, a club that really sort of in the way that when Middlesbrough were last in the Premier League, we had many seasons there, and they really established themselves, didn't they? But then when they came crashing down, it was most unexpected from their point of view, and they've still got some of those players, haven't they, in their ranks? They've still got a very big squad, and if they had have gone down to that third flight, where Sunderland, of course, are resting, and you mentioned Portsmouth, and.
Yeah, they had to effectively lose Duncan Watmore, who was far too good for that third division side, so, you know, or League One side.
It's a really hard division to get out of, especially now with a wage cap. But yeah, you mentioned, we should say about Duncan Watmore, shouldn't we? Because he's had 2 years of terrible injuries, and for him to come back in this way, he trained with the Borough first of all, and they said, we can't offer you a contract at the moment, and he trained for quite some time, I think Neil Warnock said this morning about how he at first he could see it was very rusty, as you could imagine, having been out for so long. But he's now got a contract until January, and what better way to prove yourself than by scoring two goals? Excellent.
And obviously, the good news for Duncan Watmore: no Netflix documentary following him around. So good news for that as well. So, you know, you can step away from that. Although I would actually say, Rob, that if people are looking for a laugh over the festive period, just simply watch both seasons of the Sunderland documentary on Netflix, because the response of some of the fans, quite hilarious. But that's by the by. I'll just step away from that. Talking about crowds, Wycombe Wanderers, of course, had the opportunity to have a 1,000-strong, socially distanced crowd in their last game, which was indeed against Stoke City, and they lost 1-0. So interesting in terms of where we're going for this. I suspect tomorrow, I think Stoke is still in Tier 3, so it will once again be behind closed doors and without any fans. But as you said, it's not going to be a pushover, but it would be nice if we could actually get at least a point, but preferably three tomorrow, to kind of take us a little bit further close to that promised land of at least the playoffs, but also being well-positioned. Not that we're not well-positioned at present, because as I say, although you might think 10th, but I think the key thing is actually looking at those points routine. I mean, Blackburn have a better goal difference with 12 as opposed to Borough's 6. That might well change with Duncan Watmore, et cetera. Stoke's goal difference, just a point ahead of us with 25 points. They have a goal difference of +4. So again, it's conceivable we could actually be really back in the playoff positions, or certainly very close by close of play.
Yes, and then of course we've got... The thing is that with two matches a week, the picture can change dramatically within a week, because you've got two games. But I think that's what's happened. That's how it's compressed, hasn't it? Because teams are finding it very difficult to be consistent with so many games. But yeah, if we could, I suppose what you would take, wouldn't you? Would you happily take 4 points from those two away games, Stoke and Preston, in either order? But it'd be great to replicate what we did in the summer, where we beat Stoke, and so they've got, as we said, a lot of experience, but experience doesn't necessarily always work in your favour. Mm. When you've got that, I suppose they might start to escape from the sort of Premier. It's like looking them over the shoulder, isn't it? We were a Premier club, and it's now slipping back into memory in a way.
And certainly, unlike previous seasons, we're seeing Norwich, Bournemouth, and Watford all effectively challenging at the top. Now, again, we're talking about parachute payments, etc. Reading kind of managed to rest their slide. I genuinely thought Reading, as I said in the last podcast, when I think we were all confidently predicting a good win against Norwich. Although you did mention, Rob, beware Timo Pukki. You did actually mention Pukki as a possible scorer. And of course, he scored what became Norwich's winner from that point of view. But again, we are not in a situation where anybody's is actually running away with the whole process. No. Because again, it's not that kind of situation, is it?
No. It's there's not been a season like this, obviously, for obvious reasons, where it's so compressed and there's so many games being played in such a short time. So, it's difficult for every club, isn't it? And especially, but you're right that the clubs that have come down are obviously going to have slightly stronger squads. They've obviously got the parachute payments, and it's something that needs to be looked at in the future, doesn't it? But you're often seeing clubs bouncing up and down as well because they're not quite strong enough to stay in the Premier League. You see the same between the Championship and the divisions below. And I suspect with that wage cap in the division below again that might become as much of a chasm as to the Premier League. You can think of clubs, can't you, like Rotherham, that are constantly up and down. Peterborough used to be a few years ago. And they just cannot stick. Barnsley have been like that. Doncaster, you know.
As we look at the Championship, I don't think many people actually had Wayne Rooney's Derby bottom of the table with 8 points. Let's spare a moment for, again, the thrashing that Borough handed out to them. Sheffield Wednesday, again, a bit of a slight false position because, of course, they had, 12 points deducted right at the start of the season. So they've had to play catch-up since then. And, in fact, if they'd had those 12 points, they would have been very much with 21 points, close.
But they got six back, Alex, in the end. They got it halved, didn't they?
Actually, you're quite right. So effectively, they've been on 15 points. So, yeah, like for the Wycombe Wanderers, of course, we've already spoken about in terms of their particular lineup. But Nottingham Forest, again, unusually placed in 21st position. But if you wanted to actually say, well, I don't know, I think you have got that gap there because Forest have 13 points again, 11 points behind Borough. I think it's fair to say that you're really looking at the top 10 or 11 as being the key ones, unless you wanted to make a case possibly for Cardiff. Or indeed that other side that we'll talk about in greater detail next week. Of course, no one loves them. They don't care. Millwall.
and a team like, I think we've seen Millwall in the past a few years ago come with a really strong late run. And everybody looks at clubs like that. I think Fulham did it one season. In fact, I think Norwich did, where they go on a run after Christmas and they come from absolutely nowhere. I think that's the key, isn't it? That's the key, is to stay in that pack. And that's half the division. But you stay in that and then you back yourself with the experience of a manager who's won so many promotions. You back yourself to think that you can beat some of the teams around you. I remember years and years ago when I was just starting out in the fanzine, really, interviewing Lenny Lawrence in the old Essen Park. In the old manager's office there. And he said at the time, it was a time when you used to have the old sort of transfer deadline, which would be around March sort of time. And he said he loved the idea of having 10 games where he as a manager could pit himself against another manager and all the squads were settled. And he loved that challenge to go against them. And I think Neil Warnock's the same, isn't he? I imagine that there's almost a case of other clubs and other managers fearing him a little bit because they know that he has the formula to get up. That's the psychology is as big a part as any, isn't it, really?
Of course, you are the usual Flemington Moon editor-in-chief and also the attendee at the Borough press conferences. What's the vibe for Neil ahead of the Stoke City game? Is he fairly ebullient? I mean, the only negative I could actually see in terms of squad strength, etc., is, of course, no Grant Hall for about 4 months with, of course, a thigh injury.
Yeah, he says that's Grant Hall, that we really miss Grant Hall and we really miss Ashley Fletcher. apart from that, he thinks it's a strength. It's something that some managers have mentioned in the past, haven't they? That they quite like working with a smaller squad. You don't have the people that are disaffected, not getting involved, but you've still got the challenge for people like Lewis Wing to try and break in. Your big rider to that is if you get any injuries. But he was comparing himself, his own position to Stoke, who've got a bigger squad. But another very experienced manager in Michael O'Neill, obviously internationally experienced. So he thinks it's a major challenge going to Stoke because they're always, on paper, they're a very good side. And as you say, that they're playing a lot better than they did last season. And he's sort of getting his feet under the table now, isn't he, O'Neill, and putting his stamp on that side. So it's definitely a... He definitely takes it as a real challenge. But as I say, he thinks there's a real spirit in the side, in the club, and with the fans. But he talks about his preparation as being as much about knowing when to rest. So he was asked, how have you managed to prepare between the last match and Stoke? He said, we haven't done anything yet. He said that I told the players to take a day off. And he said, I tell them to just go out for a walk or have 9 holes of golf or something like that. But not 18, he said, not too much. But he said that's the way to do it as far as he's concerned. And I remember Steve McLaren saying that, Alex, back in the days when we were doing European campaigns. He said that the key was to make sure they had as much rest. The rest was as important as going hard at it on the training. So he said, Neil Warnock said, for instance, that he doesn't believe in training on Christmas Day. He doesn't see the point. He thinks that it's better for the players to spend that time with their families than rushing through the presents, then rushing to training, then rushing back, driving here and there, etc. He thinks it's far better to do that. So it's, you know, he's an experienced guy, and he doesn't mind people saying to him, you should do it another way. It's a formula that's worked for him. And it's something that, yeah, as I say, Steve McLaren as well always went on through that season saying that if you're playing on a Thursday and you're playing on a Sunday because you're playing in Europe on a Thursday, then everything's out of kilter. So it's very important that players rest thoroughly or you suddenly start to pick up loads of injuries and lose form, etc.
Yeah, I mean, the sports science would actually say it's all down to recovery time. Psychologists in life would actually say you need a work-life balance. And maybe, particularly this year with respect to social Christmas bubbles and the other sort of factors, that you don't want to actually have the added stress of heading off to the ground as well. So interesting times. Of course, given that in the FA Cup, it's away to Brentford, which, of course, will come around before we know where we are. So, again, an interesting challenge there. Maybe not the ideal fixture, but then again, I suspect that Neil Warnock maybe not necessarily looking for a cup run as the priority this season. Who knows? Again, it could be beneficial. And we'll talk more about that as we proceed. Lots of football to come before that. Including, of course, after Stoke, as you already mentioned, another manager who's had the ups and downs, hasn't had the international experience that Michael O'Neill has, but Alex Neil, I think, has been touted very much as being following the footsteps at Preston North End of David Moyes, who seems to be, for some reason, getting all right again at West Ham United. Who'd have thought it? But there we are. He almost seems to be replicating his success at Everton with West Ham at the London Stadium there, but that's another issue for another time. But Alex Neil, of course, a little bit concerned about one of the key injuries that Preston North End actually suffered against Bournemouth, because I think one of their main players was ruled out of contention, certainly for the next few months, and that's Patrick Bauer. Can't say I'm hugely familiar with Patrick Bauer. However, the result itself, allowing for the fact that if Bournemouth had actually got something, they would have been top of the table. When we look at Bournemouth 2, Preston North End 3, again, probably demonstrates that once again, as we've said throughout this podcast, which you're listening to, obviously, hopefully by Red Army TV as well, is interesting. I mean, I don't think many people have actually seen Preston getting a 3-2 away win at Bournemouth, given obviously Bournemouth's generally strong start to the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Preston had a very good season last season, didn't they? They tailed away. But I think
they've been there or thereabouts, haven't they, for quite some time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Always that side, again, you think maybe. A bit like Brentford.
Well, very similar in the fact that they shouldn't have the resources, should they? I suppose that's one of the reasons why Alex Neil has been picked out. And obviously, as Middlesbrough fans, we have bad memories of Alex Neil for overcoming us as Norwich boss in that playoff final.
I wasn't going to mention that, Rob, but obviously it's there. You know, it's Steely.
Sorry, I know.
I mean, the only thing we can actually say is clearly the notion of divine retribution occurred, because obviously having succeeded in that playoff final, his Norwich side then proceeded to collapse in the Premiership.
They did. Yeah, well, as we were talking about earlier, there's so many of those sides that they've done it twice now in a row, haven't they, Norwich? They go up and they look strong, but they're
It's like a Delia Smith meringue, isn't it, basically? It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. I mean, I wonder if her Yorkshire puddings rise with the same sort of regularity as her football side. Maybe she doesn't do Yorkshire puddings, I don't know.
Maybe not. But I know that in the next two matches, I'll be missing two delicacies because I would normally be back partaking in oat cakes at Stoke. There's a little canal. A canal with a canal boat, a narrow boat, just beneath the ground, and you can get oat cakes as you're walking past. They're cooked there on there, and of course at Preston their delicacy is butter pies, and I found a shop in Middlesbrough that sells butter pies. So
wow.
So I ate one of them last night, and hopefully that brings us luck the next week against Preston.
Clearly. Butter pies, eh? Not too sure about the calorific count of that, but then again, Rob, you're probably going to actually run it off in some way, shape, or form, and do your outside exercise, etc. So, I mean, overall, I think it's fair to say we probably conclude at this point that Borough are reasonably well positioned. It's not a huge problem in terms of where we actually are, although it would be useful if, as we said, we could at least avoid defeat in the next two games, although I suspect Neil Warnock will be keen to do more than that, and hopefully, building on the success of the 2-1 victory against Swansea City, proceeds to head upwards with the trajectory from that point of view, and obviously put the pressure on teams that are above us. Because as you said, Rob, I don't think any side in the division will necessarily fancy playing Middlesbrough at home or away.
No, and obviously it was disappointing to lose that game against Norwich, but I'm underlying that because apart from that, we looked very strong at the Riverside. So that's been a real turnaround, because you recall that we hadn't won at home the whole of the year, had we, up until our victory in the League Cup before the start of the season. Which I think Neil Warnock has gone on record on saying that he put a really strong side out because he thought it was very important to break that duck and signal that this is a new start at home. But yeah, people won't fancy coming to Middlesbrough with or without fans, and let's hope there are fans. And as the vaccine starts to kicks in, if we can have support, I mean, it'd be something to get behind, wouldn't it, at the end of this season, if Middlesbrough are in the running?
Well, certainly despite what Mr. Fauci has now said, he apologises for the fact that his equivalent phrase of saying that the Middlesbrough Medical Services, the UK Medical Services didn't actually know what they were doing with respect to vaccines. Who knows? We are indeed in strange times, as we said, especially when you actually think that the vaccine itself was a universal production. And again, it's taking us into all sorts of things. But there we are. That's another line. Let's talk briefly to conclude then about the Huddersfield Town game. A little disappointing, a little surprising as well from that point of view. I mean, going in half-time 2-1, losing 3-2 in the end. Goals, of course, by Marvin Johnson and a penalty by British Sambalonga. Was there a sense that, I mean, obviously after Sambalonga scores with the penalty, you think, well, it's a point, that's okay. To actually concede so quickly afterwards, I'll quote John Motson from, indeed, I believe, the 1977 FA Cup final, which I think was Manchester United and Liverpool. Two tight teams, I think, go on to do a few other bits and pieces as well these days. But just before, I believe, Jimmy Case scored an equaliser, Motson says, there's a saying in football that a side is always at its weakest just after it's scored. And the case?
Most vulnerable. Yes. And it reminded me of at the end of last season, as I said, that we were hopeless at home. And we won all our games away from home, apart from one, which was very surprising, was Hull. It was a similar sort of situation where we allowed Hull to score right at the end. So it was a big surprise. We obviously should have been out of sight at the start of that game. We missed some incredible chances that we missed. It was two seasons in a row, actually, that we've had a forward that's missed an open goal from like a few feet out. But yeah, we were back in the game with that penalty, and we should have just put up all the shutters and made sure that we went away with 2-2-0. But Alex, it's probably more important the fact that we came back the next game to defeat a really, really well organised, really good side in Swansea. And it was an end-to-end game, and a really good game to watch. But we showed so much energy and so much drive through the midfield, and then with Watmore, with two clinical finishes. And this time, we did even though they came back to 2-1, we did hang on. So you would have to say that we had learned the lessons from Huddersfield, and that's surely the most important thing.
I'm quoting Neil Warnock from the game after Huddersfield, the game should have been over after half an hour, really. It was a big disappointment for us to go in 2-1 down at the break. It was a travesty, but silly mistakes led to their goals. And then the opposing view from Huddersfield manager Carlos Corberan, who seems to be creating a reasonable name for himself. Today we showed lots of character to dig in and win the 3 points. I'm sure that the Cowley brothers will find that quite amazing, really. But I'm still quite astounded at how Huddersfield decided to actually dispense with the Cowley brothers when, after all, they did what they were asked to do last season and kept them in the division.
Yeah, and they were dismissed the next day, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, but you know, fair's fair. Huddersfield deservedly beat Middlesbrough on Saturday, but then Middlesbrough came back and deservedly beat Swansea in a really high caliber game. So, in the end, when you're playing two games a week, if you bounce back in that way, and if we reinforce that by a good result at Stoke, then we can think that defeat, we've actually learned from that defeat at Huddersfield, and that's and in the long run that's going to be important.
The way forward, of course. The next Fly Me to the Moon will be in a week's time, literally 7 days from now, when we'll be looking ahead to Barrow versus Millwall, and also commenting on not one but two away games. We've already spoken about them today. We'll have the full reviews from Rob about Stoke City and, of course, Preston North End. When, who knows, we might well be if everybody actually is all else lost, etc., we could be top of the table next week. Maybe, I don't know. So life continues, everyone's. But how, Rob, can people actually get hold of that paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the wondrous sort of magazine ahead of the Millwall game? And, of course, let's give it another plug, get hold of that essential book for Christmas, My Borough Debut, which is available as well. What's the best way forward?
The best way forward for the My Borough Debut is to call in. It's now on sale at the Borough Shop, the club shop, actually, which is open 9 till 5, 6 days a week. So they've got a good stock. The Corner Book Shop, our good friends, the Corner Book Shop in Saltburn, yeah, they've got a lot of them. We've done broadcasts and podcasts from the shop, haven't we, in the past?
Yeah. Jenny at the Corner Shop. It used to be the smallest bookshop, but then they moved premises, so it's not quite the smallest bookshop in the whole thing, but it's still the Corner Bookshop, and it's one of Saltburn's finest. And even though Jenny Finch is moving to a different country, I'm sure we might return there one day.
Hope so. And the other two shops where it's on sale, so one shop a town, really, WH Smith's at Teesside Park, and Drake's, another really good independent bookshop in Stockton, in Silver Street, Stockton. So they're the places that you can buy the book. As for the fanzine, if you go on fmttmborough.com, we will soon be returning to fmttm.com, by the way. But it's at the moment it's fmttmborough.com, or find FMTTM on Facebook. In either case, you'll be able to order the fanzine next week. And also you'll be able to subscribe for the rest of the season. And yes, I better start putting together an idea of subscriptions for as a Christmas present. Slightly disrupted by the fact that the post is going up by 9p in January, which is really a bit of a shocker.
interesting in a whole range of ways, but we'll give a little shout out. We mentioned it earlier to, of course, Red Army Radio. You can find the podcast as far as that's concerned. We don't charge for the podcast. We keep it free from that point of view. And funny enough, thinking about locations, maybe in 2021, if we are actually in an era post-COVID or post-coronavirus and so on, maybe we should actually consider meeting up and doing a system from WH Smith's in Stockton on Teesside Park, basically, because I think the manager there, a good friend obviously of yourself, Rob, and I think certainly looks very good in social media. Maybe we should actually follow that through. So just a thought. But you have been listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. This time not the podcast companion for Fly Me to the Moon, the paper edition, because as I say, there is the paper edition for this because it's two away games, but we've looked at two of the front games. Well, you know what we have to do now, Rob, those final seven words that needs to be uttered as we head off to the Potteries, followed by, of course, the North Enders and so on. So a 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.